You can be forgiven if you heard the news about the Senate vote on the Natural Resources Management Act and wondered what year it is. It's really rare these days for any bill on any subject to get out of the Senate with 92 votes in favor and only 8 in opposition. The bill, you'll hear it referred to as a public lands bill and by other terms, deals with a lot of natural resource issues in a lot of areas scattered across the country. That helps. When there's public land in your state and you're in the Senate, you tend to vote for such things. The journey for the Natural Resources Management Act is not over. It is on the U.S. House calendar for this week. It is expected to pass there, too. Let's get some reaction from a group focused on land and water conservation, and that would be the Rogue Riverkeeper Program, where Robin Jansen is, in fact, the Rogue Riverkeeper, and my guest in the studio. Robin, good to see you here.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey. It's great to be here.
So this is a huge bill. We just figured out, based on govtrack.us, that it's 690 pages. It's not like somebody wrote this just for this Congress, which opened in January. Is this essentially chunks of other bills that were cobbled together into one now?
It really is. It's a huge package of multiple bills that have been, you know, folks, groups, organizations have worked on for really years and years and years, and especially our portion of the bill, which we call the Oregon Wildlands Act, is kind of a longstanding piece of unfinished business legislation, more or less, that really addresses important conservation needs on federal public lands managed by the Forest Service and the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, which really seeks to protect old-growth forests and clean water and wild salmon runs and those important recreation and economic values for the Southern Oregon region and kind of the Wild Rogue area, you know, to really create values as a legacy for Oregon's future generations and through wild and scenic river designations and wilderness and other conservation designations. So this really is
something of a snowball, it sounds like, where it got rolled downhill and it picked up a lot of other existing bills along with it.
Yeah, come on, let's go.
So the Oregon, basically, is the Oregon Wildlands Act more or less contained completely within this bill?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So let's go straight there and talk about the kinds of things that that you got in there, because I know that there's just looking at some of these titles, we have there's Oregon Wildlands in Section 1205. So this really deals with a lot of Rogue River tributaries.
It does, yeah. The piece of the bill that we're really thrilled about and have been really supportive of would be the designation of over 140 miles of tributary streams to the Wild Rogue as wild and scenic, which is amazing and would really safeguard a lot of those, you know, headwater streams, the cold, clear water that flows into the Rogue River that's so crucial for our salmon and steelhead and just the health of the main stem of the Rogue overall. So it's really, really an important piece of legislation and a lot of great protections for that wild and scenic Rogue River corridor and primarily those tributary streams.
For the people who get out on the Rogue River, and granted it's been a little harder the last couple of summers with the smoke, but look at the clean water and think, well, this is a great place, you know, and it's already the river itself has a wild and scenic status in different stretches. Mm-hmm. But think, okay, well, the river's great, so what else could it need? So I guess this is the question for you, is what else does it need to make sure it continues to be as clean as people perceive it to be?
Right. Well, so the Rogue, as we know, it flows down through the Rogue Valley and multiple different cities and such, so that's where it really sees a lot of its impacts, water quality-wise. And then once it flows through that canyon, it is designated wild and scenic, but what a lot of people don't know, you know, once you enter into that canyon at Grave Creek, a lot of folks think, oh, we're in this wild and scenic canyon, it's all protected, it's this amazing wilderness area, and it is protected as wild and scenic river, but that only goes so far. It protects about a quarter mile on either side of the river, so it doesn't, the protections don't go up onto the ridges and into the forested wildlands up above, and so it's not protect that wild and scenic status for the rivers and protecting those tributary streams and the headwaters to those tributary streams really until you get about 20 miles downstream to Mariel Lodge, and that's where the wilderness section is. So designating a lot of these tributaries is going to kind of, it's not exactly going to connect all the wildlands, but it's going to offer more, you know, protected buffers along the streams and just allow more protections for that upper part of the river, at least for that first 20 miles. And, you know, one component of this bill originally was more wilderness designation, which initially got, well, there this December got pulled out of the bill, and but we have strong support from Senator Wyden saying that he vows to reintroduce that piece at some point in the near future. So we're going to keep supporting him on
that
one.
All right, so it won't get reinserted into this bill.
Not into this.
On the House side. Okay.
Yeah, not this iteration.
So I assume the stream protections we're talking about for the Rogue River Tribs are on federal land then, BLM mm-hmm. and Forest Service land?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And are you trying to reach geographical points of interest or topographical features or just distance, as much distance as you can get?
You know, there's different criteria for every little stream. Some of it's amounts of water, some of it's just land kind of barriers and whatnot. But it was really in an effort to protect the majority of that kind of mainstream segment or, you know, the forks of the streams that were really most important. It was really interesting. This summer, I actually got to go down the river and spent a lot of time stopping at each one of these creeks, these side streams. I'm a river guide. I've run the river who knows how many times. So I know that corridor really well, and I know these streams really well, but it was really interesting to stop and actually kind of survey each stream, see how much water was coming out, check the temperature, you know, that was some research that we did a little bit for Wyden's office just to let them know, yeah, these streams are really important. They run all year long. It's really important, cold, clear water for the main stem of the river to help kind of keep it healthy and clean it up and really is beneficial for those fish and our use too.
That sounds like a really interesting shift though, to go from appreciating the water on one level as a user of it and then having mm-hmm. to actually go out and measure it and do all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Is that a real kind of mind shift for you?
A little bit. Yeah, it was really fun though. It was really exciting to stop in these places I've never stopped before, you know, where you're usually in the middle of a rapid and then there's a creek coming in and you had to pull over and we'd wander up and check out the tributary there and just see what was going on. And it was really fun. It was really, yeah, it was a shift in perspective but a great way to explore that canyon and just see, you know, these really important tributaries and why they're so important and to be able to explore them a little bit and then offer that information back to folks that have done such a good job in supporting this bill and seeing these protections move forward.
Robin Jansen, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She is the Rogue River Keeper, and we are talking about the public lands bill that recently passed the U.S. Senate 92-8. It's actually called Senate Bill 47, the Natural Resources Management Act. It was introduced by Lisa Murkowski, but includes a lot of legislation that had been around for a while. As you heard Robin talk about, it includes the Oregon Wildlands Act that's been around for a couple of years. And on its way to passage in the House, it is believed for a vote this week. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. A lot more features of the bill to talk about. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You were talking about city impacts on the Rogue River, and I was reminded mm-hmm. that just yesterday it was reported that heavy rain caused a discharge of sewage from the Grants Pass wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah, not good news. And this, honestly, it happens quite often when we get really high water. A lot of our treatment plants are pretty out of date, and there's some issues there. Oregon's not doing a real great job as far as compliance and whatnot for Clean Water Act permits for a lot of our treatment plants. So that's something that Rogue River Keeper spends some time looking into and working on and trying to sort of enforce those laws that are supposed to protect our clean water. We shouldn't have raw sewage going down the river.
No, not a great thing for sure. Let's talk about some of the other attractions of the Natural Resources Management Act. One of them is the that we've been talking for several years now about the Land and Water Conservation Fund, the LWCF, which seems to run dry every few years because its authorization runs out. And that happened
mm-hmm.
Last September 30th, didn't it, where the LWCF ran out again?
Mm-hmm.
So would you describe for folks what the Land and Water Conservation Fund is and the funding mechanism as best you understand it?
Yeah, I am not going to be able to speak to that a whole lot. From what I understand is that it gets a lot of its funding, honestly, through gas and oil leases.
Offshore drilling kinds of things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that then get filtered in for conservation efforts. So that is a really important piece to keep funded, and it did lose its funding last winter, and so now it's being reinstated, which is really great. But
okay, as I understand it too, one of the issues with the bill as currently written is that it won't cease to exist, but it won't mm-hmm. also necessarily have automatic authorization.
Right.
So
right.
They'll still have to go ahead and put. So it could still be there every October 1st when a new federal fiscal year starts, but not necessarily have new money in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's an issue to resolve as the bill moves ahead. Mm-hmm. The House may pass it as it emerged intact from the Senate, or may choose to add some amendments, in which case then it goes to conference committee and does all those sorts of things. Are you surprised that things have gotten this far this fast? I mean, were you aware that this is all going to get rolled together into this one big fat bill?
Yeah, I am a little bit surprised. I wasn't totally aware. You know, we kind of heard the murmurings as it moved forward, and but it's hopeful. I'm hopeful and happily surprised to see so many efforts go into this bill and to see such a bipartisan support for public lands. Really, you know, this is one of the largest public lands bills we've seen in years and years and years. So it's really exciting to see everybody kind of come to the table. And there's great provisions, protected provisions within this bill from nearly every state, which is really exciting. And so there's kind of, you know, little pieces for everyone, so to speak, that makes it understandably why it got 92 votes in support.
Yeah, as you read through the bill sections, you realize that, okay, this is for Hawaii, this is for Alaska, mm-hmm. this one's for Colorado, this is for Utah, then you see eastern states in there too. Among them, Section 1103, the Frank and Jean Moore Wild Steelhead Special Management Area, which is in the upper Umpqua country, isn't it?
Yeah, Steamboat Creek in the north Umpqua, mm-hmm. yeah, which is a really special area. Really amazing, amazing steelhead habitat. So that's a really incredible piece of protections for that area. I think it's just over 99,000 acres would be protected as a kind of special management area, specifically for steelhead habitat and in honoring Frank and Jean Moore, which is really great.
There's also been an ongoing discussion about lands being withdrawn from mineral exploration.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is a factor on the Chetco River, on the Smith River, for example. Is it also an issue still on the Rogue River as well?
Not so much on the Rogue. Another part of the Oregon Wildlands Bill is the mineral withdrawal for the Chetco, which is really important. Again, an amazing steelhead and salmon stream, clean water, provides drinking water for the city of Brookings. So that's a really great protective provision within this bill. You know that we see another piece of it are wild and scenic designations for the Elk River over by Port Orford and a lot of its tributaries. It's a beautiful, beautiful clean water river. Devil's Staircase Wilderness would be designated as a 30,000-acre wilderness just southwest of Eugene. So that's kind of our wilderness wildlands piece of the bill. And then wild and scenic designations for the Malala River, which is just south of Portland. So it's really kind of wild and scenic rivers focused, which is awesome. Oregon's kind of the wild and scenic state for rivers. We have 58 different rivers that are designated wild and scenic. So this would add another 256 miles to our wild and scenic legacy, as it were, which is really exciting.
Is it an ongoing situation, though, where, I mean, I guess the sense for some people, if they're listening casually to the situation, would be you always want a few more miles of river. I mean, mm-hmm. is it you want to protect all of the tributaries to a wild and scenic river? Is this the general approach?
That's my belief. but, you know, you have to, you know, it's not just enough to protect a main stem of a river. It's being fed and impacted by all of these little tributary streams, whether at the headwaters or down at the mouth, you know, as it enters into the ocean or into another river system. So it is really important to protect those feeder streams. I mean, they are what provide that main stem of the river, the cleanest, coldest water, and really the best habitat for fish. So it does us a lot of good if we can protect all those little pieces around the main stem of a major river as well.
Robin Jansen's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Rogue River Keeper. We're talking about protections for the Rogue River, and some of which are included in the current Natural Resources Management Act, working its way through Congress. It's already passed the Senate 92-8. The House vote is expected sometime this week. Got questions, comments? Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. For the people who might be hearing about the River Keeper idea for the first time, mm-hmm. Fill them in on what the general concept is and how you execute it on the Rogue River.
Yeah. So Rogue River Keeper is a just local member-based nonprofit, and our main mission is to protect and restore clean water and fish in the Rogue Basin. And we do that in a number of different ways. We advocate for clean water protections. We hold polluters accountable in our state agencies that are those regulatory bodies that are supposed to kind of keep an eye on things. And we get our communities engaged and help empower them to speak up for clean water and the protection of their water resources. We're also a part of the Waterkeeper Alliance, which is an international organization of waterkeepers all over the world, you know, from Mexico to Chile to Iraq to Little Oregon here.
And it's riverkeepers and baykeepers and just all sorts of
bodies
of water,
coastkeepers,
right?
And lakekeepers. So, you know, folks across the world really working hard to protect clean water. Basically,
how hard can it be to get the message across? Because we were talking about the wildlands, you know, protecting the tributaries under the Oregon Wildlands portion of the Natural Resources Management Act, dealing with federal lands. Obviously, you're trying to extend those protections beyond federal lands requires a different set of approaches. I mean, how difficult can it be, particularly when you're talking about Rogue River tributaries in western Oregon, which are still checkerboarded by the old railroad land grants of the 1870s?
Yeah, it can be a little bit tricky for sure because of that checkerboard mosaic, as you say. But I think, you know, especially in this bill, again, this has been going on for a very long time. There's been a number of different organizations and local businesses and elected officials and just general, you know, Rogue River lovers and people that live in this area that really support that river and want to see it protected and want to see it just kind of as a lasting legacy for this area and for future generations. So there's a lot of support. And I think, you know, when it's a more sort of proactive, protective bill like this, you can get a lot of people behind it. It's sort of when we're working on other issues around like Clean Water Act permits and those types of things. Those are a little bit more nuanced and a little harder to describe to people and maybe not as sexy all the time. So getting more support for that is a little bit trickier. But I think for the Oregon Wildlands Bill, there's been a ton of support, and we've worked a lot with local businesses and outfitters and river guides and some of the local lodges down on the river. And, you know, there's a lot of people that really want to see this happen because they know it's going to benefit them, it's going to benefit their business, and it's really going to benefit all of us.
Just got a couple seconds for a response to a question about how things feel. I mean, you're talking about a Rogue River substantially different from 10 years ago when there was still a Savage Rapids Dam, there was still a Gold Ray Dam, there was still a Gold Hill Dam.
Yeah.
All gone. You got a free-flowing river from Lost Creek out to the ocean now. What's that feel like?
It feels pretty amazing. I think the Rogue is a really great example of conservation efforts. There's a lot more to be done. but I think we've made some really big steps, and I think, you know, seeing this public lands package passed and the Oregon Wildlands Bill come into play would be a huge, huge step in the right direction.
All right. We'll see what happens in the House this week. The bill is Senate Bill number 47, the Natural Resources Management Act. It passed the Senate 92-8 to the delight, as you can hear, of the Rogue River Keeper, Robin Jansen. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.